Blog Talk Radio.
But just in case I don't make it, tell them about Black Plight Jacob. It goes cloud by day, fire by night. What the heathens know about Black Plight? The books were open, the judge just in the right. What the heathens know about Black Plight? Lucifer trying to sit high as a satellite. What the heathens know about Black Plight? They say a big boom
Blog Talk Radio.
But just in case I don't make it, tell them about Black Plight Jacob. It goes cloud by day, fire by night. What the heathens know about Black Plight? The books were open, the judge just in the right. What the heathens know about Black Plight? Lucifer trying to sit high as a satellite. What the heathens know about Black Plight? They say a big boom created all life. What the heathens know about Black Plight? They try to change time, turn day in the night. What the heathens know about Black Plight? They say y'all son is named J. Christ. What the heathens know about Black Plight? The scriptures got us black, but the pictures paint us white. What the heathens know about Black Plight? They took Israel and switched them to Ishmaelites. Now you know they don't know about Black Plight.
Let's see what we can learn here. And we're going to see if this is the truth, because if it is the truth, it's consistent with the words of the Most High. Because that's how we learn what truth is.
Hallelujah. And all praises and all honor and all glory unto the Almighty Elohim, the creator of the heavens, earth, and sea, and all that therein is, Yahweh of hosts. Hallelujah. And shalom. Welcome to the Black Plight Radio Show. I'm your host, Morey Isha Yisrael. I'm the Morey of the House of Israel of Cincinnati, and we are blessed above all to bring you the words of Yahweh. It is a great blessing to be joining all the listeners again to be able to deliver the words of the Mighty One of Yahakob. Hallelujah. And we have a very, very interesting and provocative subject matter this evening to speak to you about. But before we get into anything else, we're going to play a new song from one of the servants of the Most High, whose name is Azariah Yisrael. And this song is entitled Wake Me Up on Time.
Just give me 5 more minutes. My snooze button broke, but my clock keep ticking. The dream feels real. I wonder what happens next when I open my eyes. If I don't hear my alarm, wake me up on time. Every time I close my eyes, I see the same place. Strange land and strange people with a strange face. The whole city locked down, martial law in force. Patriot Act in effect at Rex 84. Black people back in chains like the days before. This nightmare right here got me hating to fall asleep, cause I don't wanna see this misery. That's when this elder set me down and said,
let me tell you about your history. See, once upon a time we was kings and queens. Before Caucasians knew what being civilized mean. Walking around on all fours in the caves of York. We ruled royal dynasties with gold paint our floors. We had any and every, but still we prayed for more. And gap that to the point we couldn't save it all.
I said not to be rude, but the story just sound ridiculous. If that's the truth, then how do we end up in this predicament?
Well, first of all, you gotta pay attention, my friend. To understand where you at, you gotta know where you been.
It's when he pulled his book out and flipped the page and said,
this your biography, we call the Torah in your original language. Now back to what I was saying, we was living in pride. Yahweh gave us everything that we could think of divide. We agreed to follow him, so he'll be by our side. But we envied the other nations and was after they God.
I asked, who is Yahweh? You say you believe in him. How? And how I know that's really real, what you speaking about? He said,
flip to the book of Deuteronomy 28 chapter, read it and you will see that everything that he said has happened. To name a few, he said our food will be cursed in our baskets. So for commerce, called a proverb like the Negro or an African brought here on ship. Egypts and worship gods of wood. And don't forget we are the children of Israel and exile from our home. And everybody know the truth except for you. That's why it's gone like those Israelis fighting for what's rightfully yours. Since you've been gone, took our names because you don't know from where you came or where you gone. Everything that I am saying you can research on your own.
Point two is that Yahweh is the only Elohim that even spoke about the plight of our people. And he describes in every detail the things that have happened to us. And then he tells us why it has happened. And then he tells us how and what we can do to stop it from happening.
So now I'm starting to understand, just trying to piece it together and make sense of everything and wonder, can we get better? How do we get out of this hell and change the life that we live in, from plantations to prison, this mental slavery condition? We still fighting each other while master planning our lynching. 400 years of oppression, almost the end of our sickness. We still stuck in our ways, what got us in this position? Hope we ain't too far gone and slipping into remission. I ask, now since our president is black, will he lead us out of bondage when it's time and take us back? Cause I'm tired of being held hostage, bottom line, and it's the fact that we still strangers in the land. It isn't ours, how is that? We still ain't got our reparations. Other nations can't move in, monopolize on you and I. It would not take them several years. Why the Constitution say we only 3/5 of a man? It's 2013, can you tell me when will the oppression end? He said,
Obama been in office now for 2 terms. It ain't nothing gonna change when we do learn. We've been voting since we came off the ship, remember? New face, but they still got the same agenda. And about to take every right that you think you have. Concentration camps ready and they fully staffed. They got the bill where they can lock you up for any reason here. For however long they want, they claim you disappeared. But as far as reparations, you gon' get that. It's part of all these crackers when it's time, so this and that. Y'all, you won't have to worry about a thing. Keep your head up regardless how ugly it may seem. They the one that's only 3/5 of human being. Yeah, I know the year's 2013 to end this. Well, I'll tell you next time we reconvene.
What you mean?
Don't forget it's time to wake up from your dreams.
Give me 5 more minutes. My snooze button broke, but my clock keep ticking. This dream feels real. I wonder what happens next when I open my eyes. If I don't hear my alarm, wake me up on time.
Praise the mighty Yah. Hallelujah. And that was Azariah Cipher Yisrael with Wake Me Up On Time. And it's time for us to wake up, all my people. It's time for us to wake up. So I'm asking everybody in the listening audience to please pay attention closely to the words that are about to be spoken in the name of the mighty Yahweh. We give all praises to the mighty Yah. And for those that are just joining us, this is the Black Plight Radio Show. And I'm your host, Isha Yisrael. And I'd like to give all thanks and praises to the Almighty Yahweh for blessing us to be here once again to speak the mighty words of the Most High. And I also like to praise Yahweh for the opportunity, for the blessing, and for all the lessons and the training and for all the instruction and tutelage that I received from Yahweh's prophet that he sent to us in captivity, Moré Elisha Yisrael. May Yahweh bless him, because he was a great man that taught the words of Yahweh faithfully. And I was blessed by Yah to be able to sit in that great prophet's class and learn the words of truth of Yahweh from him, and also be able to be a student of his to teach Yahweh's word. Hallelujah. Without further ado, we'd like to get into our subject. The number to call is 323-443-7418. That's 323-443-7418. We're going to be speaking about something that is going on right now and an event that will be going on tomorrow. And what are the particulars of this event? In a few hours, and they are right now, will descend upon the nations of Babylon's capital, Washington, D.C., and they will partake in an event organized by one of the preachers of the Christian faith. And it is because 50 years ago, in 1963, during a very volatile time in the United States of America, race relations were at an all-time high point in drama. Churches were being bombed. Black men were being beaten to death by police officers. Black men were being hung. Black children were being discriminated against in the schools. Jobs were at a, we didn't have any jobs. We had a high jobless rate. Many of our people were being incarcerated falsely. Many of our people were being killed by just ruthless, thuggish white people just going around killing our people. You had all kind of racial discrimination and racial hatred and violent acts against our people from the white man in this country. And arose out of all this drama came a man named Dr. Martin Luther King, and he shot up into fame and prestige a year after Emmett Till was murdered. And during that time, Emmett Till being murdered and Rosa Parks not wanting to go to the back of the bus, Martin Luther King capitalized on these events and became the spokesman for civil rights in America. Him and various other leaders had part in organizing a large march on Washington, D.C., and they marched. The event was called March on Washington for Freedom and Jobs, or Jobs and Freedom. And during this march, 10 of the leaders of these civil rights organizations met with the president and other people from the government. And then Martin Luther King had a great speech, the very famous speech where he is highly quoted oftentimes, where he said, "I have a dream. I have a dream." And ever since then, racial relations in this country haven't been worse or better, or whichever you want to say. They've just been terrible. More and more black people have been murdered ruthlessly. More and more black people have been incarcerated for no reason. More and more black men have been beaten by police. More black children have been killed and discriminated against in the educational systems. More and more black people have been in poverty. More and more black people have been unemployed. More and more black people have been systematically exterminated from off the face of the earth at high violent numbers in this country and in various countries in the earth. This has gone on at a staggering, crippling, awe-inspiring rate ever since this civil rights movement. They say, or maybe people are thinking, well, Isha, what are you saying? You're saying things haven't gotten better? I could go into the Hilton Garden Inn today. I could go into the Plaza Hotel. I can walk into any restroom when I'm driving down south to use the bathroom. I could go in any gas station I want. I could go to whatever Shoney's or Denny's I want to eat in, and I have to be able to get the same treatment as the white people I'm sitting next to. It's better. It's different. I could vote. And incidentally, the Voters' Rights Act that passed that year or the next year, because of partially that march, has been gutted this year, a couple months ago. All the people that marched for freedom and for jobs, the reason that you think that you did this, they took away all that power from that bill to no longer be used. For all the people that marched and died and got whooped and beat for education years ago, today the institutions have put together a plan that tests our children on a basis to completely separate them from their white counterparts. Standardized testing, IQ testing, and the great evil mental health institutions that are destroying the mental stability of our sons and daughters. All these things have been in place since our ancestors and our grandparents have been beaten and whooped in fire holes and dogs having to bite them and people being bombed and being beat up in schools and riots and all the sit-downs and all the many little wars that took place because our people just wanted to walk next to the white man without being harassed, holding up signs that I'm a man and singing songs and going to church and being led by preachers, servants of the church, of the same church that your slave master went to. The years now later, what we have is a more deplorable, a more grievous, a more troublesome community of black people in this country than ever before. So, now 50 years later, tomorrow, another march to commemorate and to stand for the same points, freedom and jobs, will be happening. So I wanted to discuss this. What does this mean? What should we watch out for? Well, first, we need to watch out for false prophets, because that's who's leading the charge that you see. You see false prophets leading the charge as false prophets 50 years ago led the charge. Martin Luther King, who they called a reverend, and let's speak about that. They called this man reverend, and now today, you have another man they call Reverend leading this charge for this march. And who is Reverend? If anybody can call your friends, call your pastors, call your so-called reverends, call your bishops, your priests, your ministers, call anybody that might know and tell them to call this show 323-443-7418 and let us know where does the Almighty give permission, call, or even allude that anybody but him is reverend? I would like to see that, because all we have is the word of Yah, and all we have is this in Psalms 111. Verse 7, it states, "The works of his hands are verity and judgment. All his commandments are sure. They stand fast forever and ever and are done in truth and uprightness. He sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverend is his name. The fear of Yahweh is the beginning of wisdom." Holy and reverend is Yahweh, the only one that has that title of reverend, to be revered, feared, and honored above everything. But you have hundreds of thousands of people that call themselves Reverend Bishop James Pastor Reverend whoever. And you had some man that had the audacity to say that he was the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, and they let this man lead the charge for this march and give the keynote address. And today, you have another so-called Reverend, Al Sharpton, who will be leading the charge tomorrow for the March on Washington. And these other men, these reverend, so-called reverends, these false reverends, these men that have no business putting that title before their name because they can't prove not one word to back them up about being a reverend. They are the ones leading this charge tomorrow. And that is your first problem, that you have men that are so prideful, that walk with such haughtiness, arrogance, that they're going to say that they're reverends and that they're going to teach you and speak in the name of another God who is no God. And are they doing this for free? Did Martin Luther King do it for free? Does Al Sharpton do it for free? Does T.D. Jakes do it for free? Creflo Dollar or any of the other false prophets that are out there, are they doing this for free? Well, as we all know, they're not doing this for free. They're very well paid politicians. They're well paid men that do not do what they're doing for free. If you look in the book of Satan or Saint John, now I don't call them saints, but for those that are not knowledgeable of the New Testament, the New Testament is a book written for the Gentile by the Gentile and to imprison the hearts and minds of the slaves, and especially of the children of Israel. The books are given authors of John and Matthew, and they call them saints. But the only saints are Israel. We are the only saints. And the only reason that we are the only saints is because Yahweh only sanctified Israel. That's Psalms 147, verse 19 and 20. Also, Exodus, the 31st chapter, 12 through 17, you will learn that Israel are the only saints. And Satan, because they're the adversary, the New Testament is the book of the devil, the book of Satan. In Satan John chapter 10, we'll see what Christ said about the people that are hired to do this work. In the book of Satan John, chapter 10, verse 10, it states, "The thief comes not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy." He said that's what the thief comes for, to steal and to kill and destroy. Christ said, "I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." He's wrong, because he didn't come to give life. He came to give division and destruction as the thief. But moving on, "I am the good shepherd," says the Christ of the New Testament. "The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep." Christ said this is what the good shepherd does. He gives his life for the sheep. "But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches them and scatters the sheep. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and cares not for the sheep. And my people, that's who you have as your leaders in these churches that's going to be walking in front tomorrow on Washington, on the march on Washington. You're going to have hirelings. And when the wolf comes, they're not only going to flee, they're going to turn to you and say, hold hands with the ravenous, vicious, blood-sucking, flesh-eating wolf. And vote for him. And praise him. And thank him. And be his brother. Love him. They're not only going to flee when the wolf is ready to devour, they're not only going to flee, they're going to teach you to flee. They're going to flee, and then they're going to come back and offer that you give yourself to them. And the Christ of the New Testament lets you know that these are hirelings. But what good was he? The Christ in the New Testament, he didn't want to die either. But we're speaking about these shepherds for hire. And what about what the Almighty said about these shepherds, these pastors, these dumb dogs? And we're calling them dumb dogs because Yahweh called them dumb dogs. That's why they get a DD degree, a dumb dog degree. Because they're not teaching our people the truth. They're not showing our people the signs from Yah so that we may be able to depart from evil and return unto the Almighty. But they are doing the opposite. And Yahweh said in Isaiah the 56th chapter in the 9th verse, all ye beasts of the field, come to devour. Yea, all ye beasts in the forest, his watchmen are blind. They are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Yea, they are greedy dogs, which can never have enough. What is enough? Shepherds, isn't it enough that you have all that money? No. Put an automatic deposit on their paychecks so that as soon as they get paid, you get a direct deposit on your tithes. My goodness. Never having enough. And they are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way, everyone, for his gain from his quarter. Come ye, say they, and I will bring wine, and we will fill ourselves with strong drink, and tomorrow shall be as this day and much more abundant. The alcoholic, drinking, slobbering, dumb dogs that don't bark, they're not warning you, as the Christ in the New Testament said. They're running away when it's time for the action. They're not being the true shepherd that you need. When was it? Last year? The young man, Trayvon Martin, was murdered. Murdered. He was followed. The man lied in wait for him. Followed him. He was armed, George Zimmerman. Trayvon Martin wasn't. Trayvon Martin was considered a minor under the age of 18. George Zimmerman, an adult with a handgun. and training on how to kill with his hands and with the weapon. He descended upon Trayvon Martin against the orders of the police, and he ended up shooting him point-blank range in the heart. And then he claimed it was self-defense, and he was acquitted. And he admitted and said he don't regret it because it was all God's plan. And he's right, it was God's plan. Not the God that he was speaking of. And it wasn't a good thing that he did, but it was evil. But he admitted to it. Well, nearly 60 years ago, two men mutilated a young man named Emmett Till. And they denied doing it. And they were acquitted. Like George Zimmerman. And then a little bit of time after that, they admitted that they did it. Because they couldn't be tried for the same crime. And they admitted they murdered this young man. Around that time, Martin Luther King rose up in fame and was picked to be the national leader for the student, for SLIC, or SNCC. I can't say the name correctly. Forgot all the anagrams. But he was the national leader of the civil rights movement. And now, almost 60 years later, you have these slicked-haired pastors standing up on the back of the Trayvon Martin event saying all these things, but has it really gotten better? They're just trying to promote themselves. They're not speaking out against this thing for real. They're not giving us true and real solutions. They're not being real shepherds. Yahweh said they're greedy and they're dumb dogs. And they're not. They are not warning Yah's people. Even the Christ in the New Testament said these hirelings will run. They'll flee. What did Yahweh say about those so-called watchmen that will flee or that will refrain from warning the people? Go to the book of Ezekiel, the 33rd chapter. Because what we're not going to hear tomorrow from these hirelings, we're not going to hear the law of Yahweh. And isn't it convenient that they hold this event on Yahweh's holy Shabbat? And if you are a saint of Yah, you won't even pay one word here attention to one word tomorrow dealing with this event. You won't turn on one TV screen, one radio, one internet streaming site or anything for it, because what you will be doing is rejoicing in Yahweh's holy Shabbat at the holy convocation, hearing the true warning from Yahweh's watchmen. In Ezekiel, the 33rd chapter, Yahweh says this, first verse, again, the word of Yahweh came to me saying, son of man, speak to the children of Israel, of your people, and say to them, when I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast and set him for the watchman, if when he hears the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever hears the sound of the trumpet and takes not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning. His blood shall be upon him. But he that takes warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman seeth the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword cometh and taketh any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. He said, if you, a watchman, Al Sharpton, Jesse Jackson, T.D. Jakes, Bishop Eddie Wrong, whoever else, if you don't warn the people, it's on your head. All that millions of dollars and everything you have, it's on your head because you're taking the money and you're not warning the people. Even my people, those that know who Yahweh is, and they're not warning the people of the truth. This applies to everybody. So thou, O son of man, I have set thee watchman over the house of Israel. Therefore ye shall hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. And that's what I and other mores of the house of Israel do every week. We warn God's people because that's what Yahweh told us to do. And when I say to the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die. If thou doest not speak to the warrant to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thy own hand. Nevertheless, if thou warnest the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou shalt save that hath delivered thy soul. Therefore, O son of man, speak to the house of Israel. Thus thou speakest, saying, if our transgressions and our sins be upon us, and we pine away in them, how should we live? Say to them, as I live, saith Yahweh Elohim, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? And that's what we're asking and saying and warning to you today. Turn and don't go to that evil thing tomorrow. And don't listen to these false pastors and prophets anymore. Because Yahweh has sent his true messengers. And his watchmen are standing up and are declaring the words of the Almighty Yah and letting the world know that Yah is one. And Yah will save us. Not Al Sharpton. Not Jesse Jackson. Not anybody that's been speaking hot air into the earth. Every situation where a young man or woman is abused or murdered or attacked or discriminated against for more reason to make more money and get more TV and video coverage, radio coverage, using every tragedy of our people to promote themselves. They wouldn't have a job if there wasn't evil going on against our people. And they're using it for their own gain, looking to their own way. And that's all it was 50 years ago, and that's all it is today. Again, the Almighty, he's letting us know in the book of Jeremiah about these prophets, about these false prophets. In Jeremiah, the 23rd chapter, let's read the first verse. Very important that we pay attention to what Yahweh is relaying to us. He is letting us know that these men and or women that are speaking in the name of another God, they are not speaking the words of Yah. They say they're marching for jobs and freedom, for justice for Trayvon, for justice for our people. But they're only bringing together this event for money in their pockets, for notoriety on the screens, for power and prestige for their own corner. And they're using the sheep and scattering them. And the Almighty speaks of this in Jeremiah 23, verse 1. Woe, cursed, woe be to the pastors that destroy and scatter, the sheep of my pasture, saith Yah. Therefore, thus saith Yahweh Elohim of Israel against the pastors that feed my people. You have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doing, saith Yahweh, and I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries where I have driven them, and will bring them again to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase. And I will set up shepherds over them which shall feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking as we are lacking today anymore, saith Yahweh. This explains that Yahweh is going to receive his remnant. It's going to take some divine intervention. It's going to take something from outside of our own power, something greater than you and I and Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson and Reverend Huff and Tuff and whoever else. It's going to take somebody greater, someone greater than these mere mortals. But it's going to take Yahweh and his righteousness and his glory to be able to do these things. He's the only one that's going to save us. Behold, the days come, saith Yahweh, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days, Yehuda shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely, and this is his name whereby he shall be called Yahweh, our righteousness. Yahweh is going to be our righteousness. It's going to take that type of intervention to save us from what's going on today. That's what it's going to take. And Almighty said that he's cursed these people that have scattered the flock. You have people all over the place doing all type of different things because they're not united in Yah. Because the pastors want their money. They want their fear. They want their love and they want their gifts. So they scatter them as much as they can so that they will not join and they will not be united. In Jeremiah 23 and verse 16, Yahweh also says, thus saith Yahweh of hosts, hearken not to the words of these prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart and not of their own mouth. And not out of the mouth of Yahweh. Yahweh didn't tell anybody that they should go to Washington and ask for jobs and freedom and justice for Trayvon. The only time I know in the past 50 years, and I say 100 and 400 at that years, that Yahweh spoke to any prophet and told that prophet to take his people to Washington was in 2004 when Yahweh spoke to his prophet, his messenger, his servant, More Elisha, to go to Washington, to walk on that capital, and to declare that Yahweh is our king, Yahweh is our judge, Yahweh is our lawgiver, and he will save us, and we, the black man and woman in this nation of snakes, this nation of confusion, Babylon, that we, the descendants of the people that were brought here in slave ships, we, the black man and woman in America, are the children of the Most High, who is Yahweh. And that's the only message Yahweh wanted us to bring when we march on Washington and when we march on this nation's capital. We're not bringing no requests that you please give us more jobs and that you please give us freedom. That's not what Yahweh sends his prophets to do. And Almighty also said in Jeremiah 23 and verse 21, I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I didn't send Al Sharpton, but he's running to do this. I have not sent them, and I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. But you don't see these false prophets doing that. They're not teaching the true message that need to be taught. Am I an Elohim at hand, says Yahweh, and not an Elohim afar off? Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith Yahweh? Do I not fill heaven and earth, saith Yahweh? I have heard what Martin Luther King has said when he prophesied lies in my name, saying, I have a dream. I have dreamed. And 50 years later, you have false prophets trying to relay that same false vision, false dream. And what is the effect? Let's look at some facts, some statistical facts that are in the annals of your Library of Congress. You can look in your history. Look and let's see. They marched on Washington 50 years ago for freedom and jobs to declare that they are men and women and they have the same rights and they want freedom. They marched for jobs. Well, the black unemployment rate in 1963 was 10%. 10% of the black men and women in America were unemployed. And they marched for jobs. Now, statistics also let us know that roughly or approximately the number of black people in America in 1963 was roughly 20 to 22 million people. Well, 10% of 20 to 22 million people is 2.2 million or 2 million people. 2 million black men and women were unemployed in 1963. Today, in 2013, the black unemployment rate is 12.5%. Is that better? It sounds like more, doesn't it? Doesn't that sound like more? Well, yes, it is more. More people are unemployed in the black community today than they were in 1963. Not only because the percentage is higher, but because our population is supposed to be higher. Approximately 39 million black people reside in this country. And 12.5% of that is over 4 million people unemployed. They wanted freedom. They wanted jobs. What about the poverty rate in 1963? They say, oh, they've made great strides and changes of the poverty rate. Because in 1963, the black rate of poverty was 48% of the people in 1963. 48% of the black community was in poverty, what they deemed to be poverty. That's a big number. That sounds like almost half, doesn't it? Well, if you only have 20 to 22 million people, 48% is roughly half of your population in poverty. And that means there was around 9.6 million impoverished black people in the country 50 years ago. Well, what about today? Today, since you have more people, the black poverty rate is 28%. It's a 20% drop. But how does a 20% drop equal to a 1,300,000 increase of the people that are in poverty today? Because proportionally, it is more today than it was yesterday. You have more people in the black community in poverty today than before when they did this march. And the prison population is larger. Approximately 1 million black people are in prison right now. That's more people that was enslaved in 1850. These are what you're dealing with. It's a facade going on. There's nothing but fallacies all over the place. This is the status quo. You have to keep this many black people oppressed in that manner. Because that means we all know at least one person that's feeling the effects of these conditions. We all know at least one. And that's really being generous. Because we know multiple people in our community that are suffering the effects of this oppression being placed on our people. And they're marching for jobs and freedom again. And it hasn't improved. It's been increased on the strain, and the oppression has been magnified. You think more black people have jobs now? But more black people don't. More black people have freedom now, but more black people are imprisoned. More black people graduate school, but more black people are unemployed. So what are they graduating school for? More black people are graduating college, but more black people are impoverished because they can't afford the college and they can't get jobs to pay for the college because they're discriminated against. But they don't need affirmative action. They don't need the Voters' Rights Act. They don't need this and that because Barack Obama is president. These are their reasonings. Well, and who's pushing this message that this is the post-racial era, that we need to not think back on these things and look forward, move forward, and accept the change because Barack Obama is president? Who's pushing this? When Barack Obama accepts homosexuals, who's the first black ministers to support him? Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton. Who's the first black entertainers to support him? Jay-Z. You have your top leaders who care nothing about you supporting evil. Who intervened when our people were oppressed in Egypt? When our people were being thrown into the rivers and killed and forced to do work beyond our physical capabilities that just pushed us to the limit of death? Who intervened? Go to the book of Exodus. The book of Exodus is where we're going to find out, did Barack Obama or somebody like him intervene in this situation? Did somebody like Al Sharpton come and did they go march on Memphis in Egypt for jobs and freedom? Did they go march for jobs and freedom on Egypt? Who intervened at this time? Let's look in the book of Exodus, the second chapter. And we're going to start reading. Where do I want to go? Exodus chapter 2, verse 23. And it came to pass in the process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage. And they cried, and their cry came up to Elohim by reason of the bondage. And Elohim heard their groaning, and Elohim remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And Elohim looked upon the children of Israel, and Elohim had respect unto them. Elohim had respect unto them. And what did Elohim do? Look in chapter 3, in verse 4. It says, and when Yahweh saw that he turned aside to see Elohim, he called to him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And he said, draw not near. Here, put off your shoes from off thy feet, for thy place where thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the Elohim of thy father, Elohim of Abraham, the Elohim of Isaac, the Elohim of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon Elohim. And Yahweh said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. For I know their sorrows, and I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land to a good land, and to a large land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come up to me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Now, this is Yahweh. He did that. And he delivered. Everything he said to Moses, he delivered on. When Martin Luther King had this dream of white boys and white girls walking on the foothills of the Red Mountains of Georgia, holding hands, not being judged by the content of the skin color, but by the content of their character, well, that was nothing but a nightmare and a lie. Because now, when I was on the Red Mountains of Georgia, and when you and my other brothers and sisters have been on the red sands of Georgia, all we are judged by is our color. That's it. When it was time for Troy Davis to be delivered by the now non-racist supposedly justice system because Barack Obama and Eric Holder are the heads of government, when it was time for them to trust in government to deliver them, when it was time for Clarence Thomas to take one for his people, for Troy Davis in Georgia, the red sands of Georgia, the dream, what was the case? Did they stay the execution of Troy Davis, or did they let him die even though the evidence was terrible, even though they had people that were on the jury that admitted to lying and convicting this man being coerced? Did they stop him from being killed? No, because that dream was a nightmare. But Yahweh came and delivered us from Egypt. Yahweh delivered Daniel from the lion's den. Yahweh delivered the three Hebrew boys from the fire. Yahweh delivered us all the time. Look in the book of Isaiah, the 33rd chapter. In Isaiah 33, verse 22, what does it say? For Yahweh is our judge. Yahweh is our lawgiver. Yahweh is our king. And he will save us. Nobody else. That's what we rest on. That's what we bet on. That's what we know to be the truth. Because Yahweh comes through every time. Every time. So, what is the message? What should we be listening out for? What do we need our watchmen to say? Well, if we want to fight the system, if we want to fight the power, if we want to be able to express and exert and show forth our strength in unity to come against the people that have been oppressing us for hundreds of years, if we want that, we have to fear Yah. We have to do what Yahweh said we got to do. In the book of 2 Chronicles, the 7th chapter, what did Yahweh say we got to do? This is what we have to do, my people. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, it states, If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. So how do we seek Yah's face? How do we turn from our iniquity? How do we do that? We stop following after these false prophets teaching us these lies about some man, some hippie, some fool, some cracker that died for us. That is a lie. That is not the truth. That is a lie. Yahweh never spoke of him. I just read Isaiah 33:22. It didn't say JC is our judge. It didn't say JC is our lawgiver. It didn't say JC is our king. It didn't say that JC will save us, but it says Yahweh, 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 and Yahweh, and none other but Yahweh. So if you could pull Christ out of that, then you're doing something that all these other lying ministers are doing, which is being a false prophet. And Yahweh is the only one that's going to save us. So the first thing we must do is stop going to church and stop worshiping Christ. He never told you to do it. What did he tell us to do? What did the Christ of the New Testament instruct upon you to do? In Satan, John, the 4th chapter, the 22nd verse, will Al Sharpton read this tomorrow? Will he say, ye worship what ye know not what? For we know what we worship. Is he going to stand up? National Mall? Is he going to say, for ye worship what ye know not what? But we know what we worship. For salvation is of the Yehuda Deen. For salvation is of Yehuda, Judah, Yisrael. Is Al Sharpton going to get up there and say that? Like Moray Elisha did in 2004, July 19th? Is he going to do that? No, he's not. Is he going to say, but the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. He doesn't say nothing. Christ is talking, and he didn't say anything about himself. He included himself in worshiping the Father. And he said he's going to be worshiping the Father with them. That's what we means. It's inclusive. But Al Sharpton's not going to read that tomorrow. Your preachers aren't going to read that on Sunday. They're not going to tell you this. They're not going to tell you this in the book of Matthew, the 7th chapter, the 21st verse. They're not going to tell you that the Christ of the New Testament really don't want you to talk about him at all. In the 7th chapter, the 21st verse, it states, not everyone that says unto me, Master, Master, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say of me in that day, Master, Master, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have we not cast out devils? And in thy name have we not marched on Washington and done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto Al Sharpton, unto Jesse Jackson, unto T.D. Jakes, unto Creflo Dollar, unto Eddie Long, unto Joel Osteen, unto whoever else, I will profess unto them, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. That's what he said. And our people aren't going to hear that tomorrow. And our people, and only ones that's going to hear the goodness, is in Isaiah, the 61st chapter. Let's go there. We're going to see. Isaiah 61 verse 1 says, the Spirit of Yahweh Elohim is upon me, because Yahweh hath anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. And that's who's going to hear what needs to be heard, what the nation of Israel, what every black man and woman in America that wants to release themselves from the oppression that is upon them right now, if you want to know what you need to do, you need to be at a holy convocation tomorrow, or you need to listen to the House of Israel, ATL.org at 2 p.m., and you need to listen to Truth of Traditions by Maury Alicia at 8 a.m., and you need to listen to this radio program right now, and you need to listen to Maury Elkanah on Sunday at 3:30 p.m. You need to listen, and you need to call me at 513-237-5911 to get literature. You just need to get in touch with a servant of Yahweh, and you need to hear the message that we will bring from the words of Yahweh if you want to know what to do. And this is what he says in the book of Isaiah 61. It says, "The Spirit of Yahweh Elohim is upon me, because Yahweh has anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek, and the meek are the ones that will gather. To bind, he has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prisons to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of Yahweh and the day of vengeance of our Elohim, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness and the planting of Yahweh, that he might be glorified." And the only way you're going to get that good word if you hear Yah's servants. And if you want to know, I'm going to tell you what we need to do. We need to boycott. And the boycotts we need to do, as expressed at the 20th Annual Restoration of the Sacred Laws Conference in August, this past 2 weeks ago, Maury Ishaya of the House of Israel of Raleigh, North Carolina, expressed it, and he said, and we support it, and we know it to be truth, we need to boycott. And the first thing we need to do is stop going to work on the Sabbath day. Stop going to work on Saturday. Stand up to your bosses. Stand up to your schools. Stand up to your oppressors. Stand up to your taskmasters and let them know that you are a child of Yah and you're not going to work for them no more on a Saturday. They have to fire you if they may, or they just give you another day to work. But Saturday from sunrise to sunset, you ain't going to be there. Now, that's going to be more effective if we don't do our own business tomorrow and spend all kind of money in the white man's hands by going to march, if we just stop going to work on Sabbath. And then we stop buying and selling things on the Sabbath. And then we stop supporting the poison that they've given us. And then we stop giving our children unto their sons and daughters. That's what we need to do, how we need to do it. And the only way we're going to be able to do those things is if we do what it said in 2 Chronicles 7:14, seek Yahweh and stop seeking this man. And I'm about to take callers, the numbers 323-443-7418, but I want to read this in Isaiah the 30th chapter. If you have any comments, questions, rebuttals, anything you'd like to say about our subject matter this evening, please call 323-443-7418 and press 1 if you would like to say anything. Isaiah the 30th chapter, the first verse says, "Woe to the rebellious children, saith Yahweh, that take counsel but not of me, that cover with a covering but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin, that walk to go down into Egypt and have not asked at my mouth." Have you asked at Yahweh's mouth, at Yahweh's counsel, about these events that are going on? "That walk down into Egypt and have not asked at my mouth to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh and to trust in the shadow of Egypt," trusting in this government, asking them for freedom instead of Yah. Therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame, and the trust in the shadow of Egypt your confusion. And surely it is shameful to support a man that supports your demise. So, my people, it's very important that we pay attention to the events going on in the earth today and in our nation of Israel and in our captives' land. What are they doing? What are they having these false ministers doing? And we're going to have to really do a part two, Yah willing. Next week, we have to get deeper into this. And we will, if it's the Almighty's will, next week. But I want to go to our board. The number is 323-443-7418. Press 1 if you're on the line and call that number if you would like to make a comment. If you would like to confirm the words of Yahweh and say hallelujah, amen, it's the truth, we would like to hear that because we need to hear how many people are really supporting Yah. But if you're not supporting the Almighty, or in your opinion, you think you're just not supporting what I'm saying, and you have truth to bring forth that you think is better, more formidable for our nation, we would love to hear that also. 323-443-7418. I'm going to our first caller, 828 area code. It's our brother Shalem, I believe. Shalom, brother. Hallelujah.
Praise Yah, man. Hallelujah. This is Eliyah.
Oh, praise the mighty Yah. Another beautiful servant of Yahweh. Hallelujah. Shalom.
What's good, Maurice? It's Yah, man. I just want to give all praises, all honor, all glory to the Holy One of Israel by saying hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Nevertheless, I'm honored to be on to listen in to the words of Yahweh and also from the words of his servant. But also what I would like to put is the fact of the matter is the Most High said he's spitting our people with blindness, mm-hmm. madness, mm-hmm. and astonishment of heart.
That's
because
right.
we serve him not with joyfulness and gladness of heart for the abundance of all things.
Right.
But we serve Yahweh with sorrow and grief. And the Most High asked the question and said, what sin have you found in me? That, and what iniquity have your fathers found in me that you are gone far from me? For I'm married unto you. Just return unto me, and I will return unto you.
That's
and
right.
the truth is we're married to the Most High. And the Most High loves us so much that he put us in the captivity. But our people are so stiff-necked, stubborn, and rebellious. That's why he said there shall only be a very small remnant. And this remnant shall tear down nations. And I praise Yah because I know the times are coming very soon. They're drawing very nigh. And he said, the preacher shall say, surely, I'm no preacher. The word ain't with me.
Mm-hmm.
He also said, Hosea chapter 1, verse 10. He said, that wherein you said that you are not the people, there they shall tell you, you are the sons of the living Elohim.
That's
so
right.
praise Yah, all glory to the mighty Yah, that he'll gather the remnant very soon. And probably he is being fulfilled for his
Hallelujah.
Word. It's spreading up all through the earth. So I just want to give all praise to Yah, and I thank you, brother, for your faithfulness. You are a servant and a soldier for the mighty Yah, man. So just keep it up, man. I love you, brother.
I love you too, brother. And all praises to the almighty Yah. Hallelujah. Shalom.
Hallelujah. One.
Going to our next caller right here in Cincinnati, a 513 area code. Shalom, you're on the air.
Hi. I'm a new listener, and I'm just going to say hallelujah. And the truth is the light. And I thank God for you. I thank Yahweh for you. And I'm learning, and I'm so inspired. This is my first time listening, and you have taught me so much, and I'm so eager to learn more. You do have another follower behind you.
Well, all praise to the Almighty Yah.
Yahweh bless you.
All praise to the Almighty Yah. What's your name, sister?
My name is Sister Loretta.
Sister Loretta?
My name is Loretta. But it will be Loretta Israel by the time I'm finished.
Hallelujah. And I would like to just praise the mighty Yah for your call, since you're a new caller, and we like to always hear about new people that's coming into the truth. All praise to the mighty Yah. And I would just like to say, you're not following me. We're following Yahweh together. And so,
oh, yes, we are.
Always,
yes.
Good
that's
to have
what I like
new,
to do.
Yes,
I'm
ma'am.
Learning and I'm seeking.
Praise the mighty Yah. Praise Yah. We're glad to hear you learning and seeking. We'll do everything we can to help you find the Most High in His ways. Hallelujah.
Thank you very much. You have a blessed day. Evening.
You too. You too. Hallelujah. Shalom. That was beautiful. New listener, newcomer into the word of the Most High Yahweh, finding out who they are. Hallelujah. We're going to our next caller in Atlanta, 404 area code. Shalom, you're on the air.
Shalom, shalom, Maria Shah.
Shalom, hallelujah, how you doing?
Hallelujah, this is Sister Yanice in Atlanta.
Shalom.
I am doing shalom, shalom, and happy preparation evening to you. And I would just like to say that I have truly enjoyed your message tonight, as I always do. And I wanted to just mention that it's so sad concerning what you were speaking of tonight, about people going to Washington tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And the saddest part of all is I received a text, I think earlier part of this week, where an Israelite, and they were preparing and getting buses ready to go as well to this on the Sabbath day.
Mm.
And so when you were speaking of this, and when you were reading where the Most High is the one to deliver our people,
mm-hmm.
not man, not your so-called leaders, and not all of this falseness going on around here. And
mm-hmm.
It's just so sad, though, when we see our own people, the Israelites, that want to participate in this, because you got to trust in Yah.
That's
and
right.
You got to be it takes a strong person to trust in Yah and to keep his commandments.
That's right.
And so see these things that look good on the outside, we need to just stick with Yah. Just stick with Yah, because, as you said, this is all about money. It's all about prestige. Somebody's getting a name, and
mm-hmm.
nothing will come out of it, because when it's all over, everybody will go back to doing the same thing that they were doing.
That's
people
right.
will continue to be murdered in the streets,
That's
and
right.
everything will still be the same.
That's right.
So I just want to say hallelujah to you, and I praise Yah for this message tonight, and praise Yah for the new listener that was listening in, and I pray that the Most High have her to start keeping the Sabbath day and come
praise
into
God.
Your class and become a whole person.
Hallelujah.
Praise the mighty Yah. I love you, brother, and I thank you for the message tonight.
Well, praise the mighty Yah. We love you also, the great wife of Moray Elkanah, Sister Yanice. Thank you for your call. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Shalom.
Praise the mighty Yah. Shalom.
Anybody else would like to call, make a comment, have any questions at all about what we've been speaking about, like to say anything, number is 323-443-7418. Going to our next caller. Here in Cincinnati again, 513 area code. Shalom, you're on the air.
Shalom, shalom.
Shalom, my brother, my elder, Eliah.
How are you, my brother, Moray?
I'm doing excellent.
Listen, a woman just called in named Loretta.
Yes.
And I was telling her about Yahweh yesterday.
All right.
And I was thinking about what you said about in your presentation. And just think, tomorrow we will not travel anywhere but to the sanctuary to Yah Shabbat Day. And like you said, this is the effective boycott.
That's right.
This is the one that will bring Yah into intervention so he can help us.
That's right.
I want to give that testimony. And from there, I will bid you a good night. And Yah willing, the Shabbat day tomorrow. And the sister Loretta, she's prepared to go So she can be assisted. Yes, sir. So we'll see you tomorrow, Yah willing, and keep on doing the fine job you're doing. We're thankful to Yahweh because of his servant Elisha, who has us on the right track, because all we deal with is thus says Yah, and we seek to straighten out the crooked places.
That's right.
So carry on, my brother. I love you. You know I do. And shalom, shalom. I'll talk with you later on. And to the listening audience, participate, ask questions, get your answers.
Praise
Shalom, God. Shalom, my brother.
Shalom, brother. Praise the mighty God. Thank you for your call. Hallelujah. Going to our next caller. She's in Atlanta. The elder in the house of Israel. Elder Hadia. Deborah Hadia. Hallelujah. Shalom.
Shalom, shalom.
How you
happy
doing?
Happy preparation day.
Hallelujah.
I mean, happy preparation night.
Yes, ma'am.
But I just could not help calling in after the Sister Loretta and Yanis and my brother. I mean, it's wonderful program, the information. And like Yanis said, it's so sad that our people, some of our people, would be going to strengthen the hand of the wicked by participating in such a travesty as that boycott. And what you said was so correct. We need to be boycotting these jobs and standing up for the mighty Yah, because he has past, present, and the future. We'll always stand up for Israel.
Hallelujah.
We keep slapping Yah in the face by putting these heathens above Yah. And it is a sad thing, but I praise the mighty Yah for his preparation day and the evening. And I praise Yah that he is blessing us, and hopefully, prayerfully, that we will wake up tomorrow to praise the mighty Yah on his Shabbat day, from the rising of the sun to the going down the same. So I thank
praise
you, brother, for delivering such a wonderful presentation, waking our people up, and keep this message going, because it is so important that we are on these airways and keep putting Yah's word out there, because Yah is repetitive, and this is what we have to be. So I praise Yah for the program. I praise Yah for Israel. I praise Yah for the sanctuary that we have here in Atlanta for Moray Elkanai. I praise Yah for Moray Alicia, Yah's servant that was here, that shared with us and tried to bring us up, and so we can step our game up as far as recognizing, loving, and implementing Yah's law. So I want to praise the mighty Yah by saying hallelujah. And again, thank you, brother.
Hallelujah. Praise the mighty Yah. We love you and thank you for your call. Hallelujah. Shalom.
Hallelujah.
We're going to our next caller, 360 area code. Shalom, shalom, you're on the air.
Shalom, I have enjoyed, I'm here in Seattle with my family, and the lesson has just been wonderful. The message that you are saying is just awesome, and boycotting is the answer. And if we as African Americans, Hebrews, would just not shop and just shut down everything that we normally would be doing normally, this country would be in bad shape if we decide doing everything.
That's right.
And the boycott is the answer. And we have discussed this many times, especially since with this Trayvon Martin case, you know, what should be the best thing we as a people should be doing. And it is boycotting. But boycotting on the Sabbath day is the most, it's the best that you could possibly do if you don't already work on the Sabbath day if you have to. I know when I was working, I decided, I said when I came into this walk, it was a hard decision because the money was very good. It was lucrative. And it was it was a way of life. And when I just went in, I said, I'm not working on the Sabbath anymore. That was it. Either they kept me or they would lose me. They decided to keep me. And I never worked another Sabbath since. And that's been 2 years.
Praise
so
God.
The thing is that it is, it's important. And I apologize, that's my grandbaby over here crying.
Oh, it's all right.
But you know, I just wanted to say, just keep it up. We enjoy listening to your lesson, the teachings, and to the caller that called in, the young woman in Cincinnati, and she's a new listener.
Mm-hmm.
It's happening. Because anytime you hear this type of teaching, and it's not your words, it's the words of the Almighty, first of all. These are his words. No one else's. You're just a vessel that he used. But it is an awesome vessel that he's using. And you're not backing down. You're not doing anything but what Yah has called you to do. And I just enjoy the lesson. And like I said, my mother's in another room listening to it. But we love it. So keep it up, and boycott is the way to go. And just stay faithful, put this word out, and Yah will get all the praise. He gets all the glory anyway.
That's right. Praise
so
the mighty Yah.
Get off the phone and enjoy the rest of the program.
Hallelujah. We thank you for your call. Thank you. Hallelujah. Praise the mighty Yah.
Shalom, shalom. Shalom, shalom.